My name is Sarah Maxwell, and welcome to the Take Action Team call. I am interviewing from Queensland, Australia, where the tropical heat is seriously starting to ramp it up. I am originally from Canada, and so welcome all the Canucks to the call. And look, the thing is, these calls reach around the world, so prepare to be blown away by today's guest. I have been learning and growing from these Take Action Team calls for almost 4 years now. And so when Warren Lance asked me to lead a call, I'm more than excited to be able to do a great job for everybody and all the listeners. Our three guests today have had life-altering transformations, all because they said yes. They have released 47, 80-plus, and 107 kilos. So those North Americans, it was worth me converting it, so you can all be astounded too. That is 104, 176, and 236 pounds. Ridiculous. Like, seriously, epic results. So Isagenix is so proud of people who completely turn their lives around that they enter in what we call the 100 or the 200-pound club. So our founder, Jim Coover, always becomes visibly emotional when these members take the stage at a big event. And I can tell that that's because at the heart of why he does what he does with his company is the stories that you're going to hear today. So today we will get to the heart of what led a woman named Cheryl Edwards, originally from New Zealand, to step out of her obese body into a life of hope and dreaming again, and how Owie saw his friend Tom as a lifeline back to a relationship with his daughter, and Lorinda, being a photographer by trade, having the courage to step out from behind the camera to realize her own desires for life and not always doing everything for everybody else. These are incredible stories that point back to the important work we do in shifting the epidemic of obesity inflicting the world around us. So I am very excited and really honored to welcome to the call Lorinda, Cheryl, and Owie. So how are you guys today?
You're really good, thank you.
Good, thank you.
Really good.
Awesome. Look, I'm just going to say before we get started that these guys made this call happen at the drop of a hat. And look, they've had to organize kids, they've had to organize, you know, where they're going to do the call, but the minute they knew that they had a chance to breathe some hope and inspiration to other people, they were there. So I just do want to honor our guests today because, like all of you listening, these guys have big lives too. So, you know, look, you three, I'm chomping at the bit to hear your story. So I want to start with Owie, because his name is the hardest one to say, so just get that out of the way. And I would love, Owie, if you could share with us what life was like before Isagenix and then your journey through shedding the weight. Because I know you're in an Isobody Challenge right now, so your journey is in process. But could you just let us into your world a little bit of where you've come from and where you are now?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I'm going back a couple of years now, but I've always been overweight, an overweight kid. I mean, I was 100 kilos in grade 8, so I always struggled with weight. And not so much a big fat kid, but just a big kid, you know what I mean? And then just as I got older and older, bad habits and bad choices, I just ballooned and ballooned and ballooned. And then a couple of years ago, it came to a real forefront. I contracted a pneumonia, which had put me into hospital, and I'd sort of blown out to 206 kilos when I thought I was somewhere around 150, which is still very heavy, but nowhere near what I was. And I was on a life support. I was in intensive care with this pneumonia. I virtually all my organs and everything had shut down, and my body was said, look, we can't do it anymore. We're inside, I suppose, so we can't do it anymore. And they all started shutting down. And my big revelation that I had to change my life was when my heart did stop, but it came back after 2.5 minutes or so. And but then that afternoon, my daughter would not come anywhere near me. And it was a pretty heart-wrenching sort of thing. You know, your own flesh and blood, your why in life. And wouldn't come anywhere near you. So I said, right, I've got to do something. And I was offered, you know, fully funded dietary visits. And so I went for about 7 months to the dietitian every month, and I managed to lose 10 kilos down to about, or 9.5, so I was down to 197. And a good mate and one of my best mates now, since being with Isagenix, Tommy Crockett, he was posting on his Facebook and telling me how good he felt when I saw him. And I said one day, I said, "Tommy, that stuff you're on, will it help me?" He said, "Mate, I'm sure it'll help you." And so he was actually at Celebration 2 years ago when I texted him and I rang him. So he signed me up while he was at Celebration. Another good friend, Andy, was there with him. And that's where it all started. I really struggled for the first couple of weeks and nearly quit. And now I see it as quitting on yourself, nothing else. I nearly quit in that first couple of weeks. But I soldiered through, just because I don't know what it was, but something inside me said this is going to be awesome. And then now I move on 18 months after being on the products. I'm not exactly sure how much, but I was 78 kilos down when I started my Ice Body Challenge, my latest Ice Body Challenge, 14 weeks ago. I haven't weighed, and I know I've gone from a 2XL shirt when I started the challenge down to an XL shirt now. So I imagine there'd be some fairly good movement there, and I'm training like my warm up is now what my workout used to be. It's just been phenomenal that I can move from that flat out wanting to get out of bed, and now my daughter will jump all over me at any stage and always comes and is as close to me as she possibly can be. So it's really, we've really achieved what I set out to achieve, which has been fantastic.
Wow, that is amazing. I love your story. And if it's okay, I'd love to hear a little bit more about this relationship with your daughter, because I know there's been some significant points along the way. Like you said, it was a challenge at first. And if anybody expects to not only do this journey or help someone through this journey, there's going to be challenges. So can you describe some of the little milestones you put along the way so that you could keep charging on, like 176 pounds North Americans, like that's the weight that always talking about here, you know, like when he's saying the word 80 kilos, that's what we're talking about. So can you just share a little bit about these milestones, particularly some of the ones around your daughter, because I know you had some goals and some whys there.
Yeah, for sure. Like my daughter's always been, and even when I was healthy, I think I was an okay dad, but I couldn't do what she wanted to do. I'd sit and watch her swim in the pool, and I'd sit and watch her run around in the park. And there's a mountain here, just in outside Toowoomba where we live, and it's called Tabletop Mountain. And when I first started, I said to Tom, "Mate, I just need to lose enough weight that I can take someone up there," because she'd been wanting to go up there. And it's Tabletop, exactly what it sounds like. It's flat on top, but it's one hell of a climb to get on top of it. You got to go over what they call the camel's hump. And anyway, so I dropped about 25 kilos, so that's about 50 pounds, a little bit more for you guys other than the call. And so I just said to Tom, "Okay, mate, I don't want to walk up this hill and with Savon, my daughter, unless I know I can do it." He said, "Well, I'll do it with you. We'll do it on Thursday." I said, "Yeah, okay. That'll be good. We'll give it a try. And anyway, so Tom and I went down, and we drove down to the bottom of the hill to go up the hill, so to speak. And there was a group of Isagenix people there, about 8 people that I'd recently only met, probably, you know, known for 2 months, the longest, other than Tom. And we all set up the hill, and I was about 200 metres in the journey, and I thought, holy dooly, is this going to really happen? But anyway, I pushed on and with support of those people, and we got to the top of the hill, took some photos as we do. We had an e-shot, which was pretty cool. We shared the shot on top of the hill. And so I said to Tom, "Okay, we need to go back down this hill, and I need to get back into the gym for a couple more weeks, and then I'll bring Savon up." So 2 weeks later, Savon and I, we put some water in our backpack and some sandwiches, and we headed up the hill, and we stood on the top, and she cuddled me, and we cried, and yeah, it was amazing feeling. So that's sort of the biggest journey. And the other journey, which I still haven't done yet, is I want to beat her in a 100-meter sprint. I'm not far away. I'm still about 10 meters behind her. But, you know, she's 40 kilos and I'm still a little bit over 100, so I will get her by the time I'm finished. So that's the other little journey that we're on at the moment. We she continually says, do you think you're good enough? And I said, come on, let's go and try, but I still can't quite get it. But anyway, that's the other journey.
But she knows you're coming for her, right, Ollie?
Yeah, she knows, and I'm going to get her and pick her up as I go past her when I can.
Fantastic. Oh, fantastic. I really wanted people to hear that story, because behind every great result is, you know, that moment where the holy dooly moment, you know, and it's like, gosh, can I do this? And when something is like your daughter, you know, is important enough. And so I can't wait to hear about the sprint. And we're going to come back to you, Ollie, but I think you've really set the tone. If you're listening, settle in, because these are real life stories, and I promise you, Ollie's not the only one out there with a daughter who isn't sure how to relate to their dad when he's just not feeling like the person that he is, you know, like when people are caught up in sickness, actually, you know, and obesity. So thank you for setting the tone. And Ollie, and as we head to Lorinda, I'm so curious about you, Lorinda, because you and I have become friends. And when I know your story, like I know that you just keep going here, but you've released 104 pounds. That's, you know, 47 kilos. And I think last time we were together, you were at 42. So you're just keep moving. But you used to be a personal trainer. This struck me. I was like, I need to understand this. So how did things get so bad, Lorinda? Like, can you share how grateful you are that your sponsors never gave up on you, and just give us a little background on how PT gets so overweight?
Oh, sure can. Actually, it really makes me stop and think about it, actually. When I was personal training people and I was actually running a fitness center, I so didn't understand how people that were overweight could not want to do something about it, and they just weren't, to me, I felt like they weren't motivated to do anything about it. And now looking at me putting on the weight, I realized that those people had it so much harder than I even imagined. To be able to have the motivation to do something when you're at that level is huge, and I think that's something I've taken from the whole experience. When I was personal training, my husband got sent to a different part of the country with his job, and I went with him. So obviously I had to give my job away. And at that same time, my mum was diagnosed with breast cancer. And I also fell pregnant with my daughter at the same time. So excuse me, I think I'm going to cry, and I didn't realize. I was sort of... In that stage, I was so struck with making sure that my mum was happy and wasn't worried about me being pregnant while she was so sick, because she wasn't given long to live. So I stopped thinking about myself totally, and it was all about making sure that my mum wasn't worried about me when she should have been worried about herself. And that's where I really started to stack on the weight. From there, it just got harder and harder to get motivation to get myself back. My life just became all about making sure other people were okay and that other people felt good, which was fine. And I talk myself into being happy no matter what my situation is. So I forgot what it felt like to feel good and to put time into myself. I met this wonderful man who just made me feel beautiful no matter what size I was and no matter what I was doing to my own health. He just made me feel good about myself. So I really did forget what it felt like to put time and energy into myself. And I am to the point where my sponsor took a whole year to try and talk me into starting Isagenics. And I just kept saying no, because I thought, I'm happy, everything's okay, my family's okay, I'm okay. I really talked myself into believing that. Mm-hmm. And the only reason I ended up starting Isagenics wasn't even for my own benefit. It was to make my sponsor happy, because, again, I just wanted to make somebody else happy and I didn't want to let him down. And it wasn't until I started using the program that I started to remember what it felt like to feel good.
Wow.
Yeah.
This story, Lorinda, is so relevant, because there's so many people out there that just have, you know, there's a belief that I'm okay and that the way that it is good enough. And so what you're breathing into people is, it's like three major life events happening all at once. And then all of a sudden, the personal trainer, the one, I didn't know that you ran a fitness center, the person who ran a fitness center turns into, how do I make sure every single other person is happy? How do I basically become invisible? And look, you're a photographer, so I find that really interesting, Lorinda, because what have you felt and experienced since you started making your changes? What have you felt? Because I know there's been an interesting relationship between you and the camera. Like, you know, how you even got up on stage to be recognized in the 100 Pound Club. There was a little bit of a, can you take us through what that was like to feel like a different person?
I think
you just had something in front of your microphone. So start again, Lorinda. I don't know where your volume went.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you now. Perfect.
Yeah. Okay, excellent. Sorry. Going from behind the camera to being in the spotlight actually started to remind me of what I felt like when I was younger, because before I was a personal trainer, I was a dancer. So I was always in front of a camera. I think in a lot of ways I use the photography to hide. But then being in the spotlight again, I started to feel like who I really always was. And that was an amazing feeling. I can't even really describe how good that felt, because not only did it started to empower me to want to make decisions for my own sake. And even now, my family, my children are now making decisions based on what needs they have. And before, they previously wouldn't have done that. They were following my example, making sure everyone else was okay and not taking into account their own needs. So I feel like coming into myself has allowed my whole family to come into themselves as well.
Wow. It's really good to address that as a mom, and sitting from the other side as well. So that moment when you were coming, being recognized, and they announced your name, right, to come out in front of thousands of people, as Lorinda, the person who has lost or released over 100 pounds, what happened for you in that moment?
Actually, you know, when we were doing the rehearsals for that day, I was all fine, and it was that moment just before they introduced me that I burst into tears. I don't think I'd realized what I'd done until that moment that they introduced me and called me onto stage. So I'm backstage crying just before they introduced my name. But it was just like this great big amount of freedom had just been released upon me, and it was just permission to go get the world, go live.
Wow. I wanted to ask you that question because sometimes I know people are doing amazing things with their health and they're shifting, but they don't tell someone, or they don't even think, well, I don't need to be in the 100 pound club. Like, it doesn't matter. Well, I wanted Lorinda to share that, because all these steps, all these moments where the transformation are happening, they happen when you're showing other people, when you're actually standing there and realizing, I've done it. So I just want to thank you, Lorinda, for sharing that, because I think that sometimes people don't recognize that that's part of their health journey, actually, is telling someone else, being accountable to other people. And so on that same note, I'm going to come back to each of you, because we're just sort of opening up your stories. But Cheryl, I mean, where do I start with Cheryl? So for me, Cheryl, speaking of a stage, I met Cheryl standing on a stage in front of thousands of people while her people did the haka, which is a New Zealand tribal cultural, a recognition for the warrior that she was. And look, you need to feel it to really understand what that's all about. But her people were honoring her, because she had entered into the 200-pound club. Whew. So, you know, that's just like, like ridiculous. So she's now released 236 pounds, which is just epic. And like she's really entered into this whole other sphere. And that's permanently etched in my mind, Cheryl. So can you take us through what your life looked like before you knew the word isogenics and what gave you the courage to start?
Before isogenics, I was emotionally stressed, purely because I was diagnosed with arthritis, and just moving to the Gold Coast for, you know, everyone knows what the Gold Coast life is. It's all about the beach and enjoying life and, you know, theme parks and things like that. And when I was diagnosed with arthritis, my health just took a big dive. It emotionally overtook me because at the time I had an 18-year-old that loved to go shopping. She was a normal teenager, but because of my pain from my arthritis, it caused us to argue a lot and fight, and to the point where she would take off for days, and, you know, it just emotionally got to me, and then I just kept thinking, yeah, it's a teenage thing, it's going to blow over. And and then it wasn't until she was going to a church ball and she wanted me to take her shopping, and that moment where I couldn't take her shopping because I couldn't walk the shopping malls because of my arthritis, she said to me, "Mum, why can't you come and help me choose my dress? Why can't you come and see the dress that I want to choose?" And I said, "I can't walk that far." And it just emotionally took her down. And yeah, she just pretty much made me realise that I needed to do something. I would stress over her, you know, just a couple of dishes in the sink. And, you know, it wasn't a major issue, but because of my pain, it was a big issue because I was constantly in so much pain and taking it out on my two girls. And because she was the teenager at the time, I was aiming everything at her. And, you know, it was just taking us both down. And, yeah, and then it goes back to my my younger girl as well. Living in the Gold Coast, you've got to enjoy the beaches and the park and everything that the Gold Coast offers you. And I was making excuses not to take my baby to the park or making excuses not to be at the beach. And, you know, I just felt like this fat lady was at the beach and this fat lady was at the park. And I was terrified about what little children would say. You know, children, any children will say whatever they think. And, you know, it's really damaging to hear it. And I was afraid of being told that or even overhearing a child say that. So the only way for me to feel good was to comfort her with McDonald's or, you know, we'll go to the park at McDonald's or things like that. And and they both sat me down one day and they said, "Mum, why don't we move to the Gold Coast when we can't live the Gold Coast life?" And, you know, it just made me realise they were right. And it was that moment where my oldest daughter said, "Mum, the way you're going with your medication and all the energy drinks you're pumping in your body, you're not going to be able to see your 40th birthday." And it was really hard to listen to, but that was the moment that I had to make a choice.
Isn't it interesting, Cheryl, that you were so afraid of what the kids at the park would say, and then your own girls are sitting you down and giving you the truth talk. So tell me about the beginning. I want to hear some of the challenges that you had to overcome.
Challenges was, I had so many challenges. For one, I didn't believe in myself. I didn't believe that anything was going to help me because I had tried everything I could out there, and it just didn't help. And, you know, and then I just kept saying to my sister that signed me up, I just said to her, what's this any different to what I've been trying to do? And she said, "You've just got to try it. You've got to believe in yourself and believe that you can do this." And it took me a little while. It was only a matter of probably 2 or 3 months And because my health was deteriorating, I was to the point where I couldn't even walk for 5 minutes without being in constant pain. So that pain, sorry.
It's okay.
That pain actually took over my whole body and my whole thinking.
Yeah, of course.
So one of the challenges was to be able to walk for 5 minutes, and you know, just as I started on the program,
wow.
You know, all the just because I was in so much pain, I just wanted to get going and do something. And and the day I started Isagenics, my first 4 days just really told me that this was for me. In my first 4 days, I lost 5.8 kgs. And, it was massive.
Wow.
I was just, like, blown away. I was like, oh, my gosh, I've got to do this. And one of my biggest challenges were paying for the products. At the time, my husband and I were only on one income. And the night that I said, I've got to do this, was the night that I had to save up for 3 weeks, and I was determined if I was going to do this program, I had to make it work.
Mm.
And that's been my drive from day one to now. Even I still believe that, you know, thinking that way has got me the results that I've got today.
Wow. And has every month been different, Cheryl? Like, have you noticed something over time? Like, has something, can you say anything to people out there who are starting? So, you know, within 4 days you were like, whoa. But talk us through a little bit of month by month, what it's been like.
When I first started, I didn't struggle with it. I did have a few ups and downs on my cleanse days, but it's not as hard as I thought it was going to be. And because I kept looking at overthinking the program, I was like, no, I've got to stop that. And every month went on, I was able to like get my mindset into place and set goals. I've got an amazing team that helps me, that's helped me from day one. And setting goals has got me to where I am now. Massive on goals. Daily goals, weekly goals, monthly goals, and quarterly goals, and the biggest goal I could ever set.
Awesome.
And at the time, when I started my program, I sort of hid from everyone. And I kept thinking, no, I'm not even going to show anyone my before photos. I was terrified of my younger sister seeing my before photos. And the day my pack arrived and I started, she was like, can I look at your before photos? I was like, no way, you're not even going to look at them. And she was like, can I have a look at your measurements? And I said, no way, no one's going to see those measurements. But, I don't care anymore. I know those before photos are out there today and, you know, inspiring so many people.
Awesome. Exactly. Even that it's on this call and everyone can see how far you've come. So tell us a little bit about what life looks like today with your daughter.
Oh, my gosh. We are so loving. We cry with each other. We laugh with each other. And my oldest daughter just recently turned 21. 2 weeks ago, and she was, you know, she's so understanding now at why I came to New Zealand, and because I was in New Zealand and she was in Auckland, in Australia for her 21st, we sent her away to Vanuatu for her 21st birthday, purely because she deserves it, you know. We had a pretty rough life, and I just wanted to show her how much we love her, and she had an amazing holiday in Vanuatu for 2 weeks, and, you know, and I spoke to her yesterday for the first time, and, you know, she's like, Mum, I just love you and miss you so much, you need to come home, and...
Awesome.
Beautiful. Yeah, she's we're so close. Yeah.
Awesome.
And my youngest, she's just thriving on the beach and parks and everything. We're just loving, yeah, loving life to the fullest.
Awesome. And so since you're such a goal setter, what's your big, audacious, full-on goal, Cheryl?
Okay. Where do I start? My biggest... I have... For those that don't know me, I'm a boxer. My biggest goal came from that boxing career, my boxing instructor career, and I had to set me a big goal. Because my 12-month goal when I first started Isogenics was to run a marathon, and my first 12 months I ran my first marathon.
Wow. Okay. Didn't know that.
Purely, I set that goal because of my arthritis in my ankles. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to beat this arthritis in my ankles and show that, you know, anything health-wise, if you're going to better it, it's gonna really work for you. And, I ran my first Gold Coast Marathon 12 months after I started Isogenics.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it took me about 3 or 4 months to really set another big goal because I thought running the Gold Coast Marathon was the biggest goal ever. Like, that is a lot of effort. Like, I didn't even think I was going to achieve it, but I did.
Wow.
So, and then 3 or 4 months after summer kickoff, I set another goal to box for New Zealand in the Gold Coast Commonwealth Games in 2018.
Oh. Whoa. Okay. That is so
which
cool.
Meant little steps of... Which meant little steps of having to get in the ring and fight as much times as I can to prove to the New Zealand Boxing Foundation that I'm, you know, prepared to represent New Zealand and get in the ring and give it a go.
Wow. Whew, I've got goosebumps. Just, like, I mean, I come from that. I was a professional athlete, so just knowing what you've set forth. And so how has it changed you setting these goals? I love hearing this, actually, how important this part is. I love when you said daily, weekly, quarterly, you know, like you really laid it out for people that this is not just pie in the sky, I'm going to box for New Zealand in the Commonwealth Games in 2018. And by the way, the minute that you declare that, like we all become part of your journey because now I'm part, like I'm a cooperative component now in your journey. So tell me a little bit what it has caused you to become as a person to set these massive goals.
Oh my gosh, I'm stuck for words. I'm never
like. I was gonna say I didn't tell any of the questions, everyone. This is the proof. Like these are real live conversations with real people. Guess what? That's a pretty big question, actually. Are you okay with it, or do you want me to... I could ask something else. Do you want me to ask something else?
Yeah, just break it down a little bit so I can...
I will.
Yeah.
I will. So tell me, so you mentioned that with that goal, it has caused you to have to get in the ring a lot so that New Zealand recognize that you are valid, like this is what you're going for. So tell me how the big goal has helped you create your daily goals, let's say.
Okay. It's helped me because, you know, I've... been to become a boxer you have to keep up with your fitness, you have to keep up with your good nutrition, and you know I've come across really good opportunities that's helped me. I've been able to, like, I've had 2 boxing matches so far. The first one was for a big charity, that was really amazing. Like I knew if I wanted to become a boxer, that boxing match was the moment that was going to let me know whether I wanted to carry on and do what I wanted to. And it was really massive for me. I was thankful for the products. With a boxing match, you have to, you know, a lot of boxers starve themselves. They fill themselves up with water and, you know, just worried about weigh-ins and things like that, but I didn't have that struggle because I knew how good our products were. That was going to, you know, the morning of my weigh-in, I had a shake, and everyone had was starving, and I was like, oh my gosh, how can you starve yourself? And they were like, well, what did you have? And I said, I had an Isolene shake, you know. I was just like, yeah, I'm... And they were like, how can you eat? And I said, easily. Like, I don't starve myself. My body needs the nutrients that it needs to be able to perform. And, you know, and throughout my day, I was having my Ionics. And when I, you know, the night of my fight, when I went in to get changed, you know, I had my shot of Ionics. And my trainer's like, what are you taking? Like, what is that stuff? I said, oh, my gosh, you're asking me now. Ask me later. And all the guys out the back there were warming up. They were, like going really hard out. And I was like, what are you doing? You're going to lose energy. And they're like, well, shouldn't you be warming up? I said, I don't need to warm up. I had a cycle on the bike, but that's about it. And then I pulled out my Ionix bottle again with my straw in it, and I'm walking around and I'm sipping away and I'm like, what is that stuff? I said, you need this stuff. And they were like freaking out at me. And my boxing, one of my teammates, he said to me, I need some of that. I said, yeah, you do need some. And then I was telling him about it, and he was like, oh, I'll talk to my wife after the fight. And I was like, yep, see that. So then I had my E-shot, and then just before I went in the ring, I could feel the calmness of my body from the Ionics. I knew the Ionics was working. And then I was in the ring, and then my first round, I sort of got knocked around. And then my second round, I felt my E-shot kick in, and I was like, yeah, like, it's working. And everyone was, like, asking me after the fight, like, what are you on, like? You were the only one that wasn't nervous going in the ring. I said, because I had Ionic Supreme. Like, wow. I was just, like, showing off, you know, like, I've got this. And you don't have it.
And you know what, Cheryl? Like, I want people to – why I've asked you so many questions and gone in depth here is because what I've seen is that people that have big goals, meaning big weight loss goals, let's start with that, is that – after the initial excitement of losing some, they don't have another goal. And because of that, they start to, for example, someone says, look, I want to lose 30 kilos. You know, that's approximately 60 pounds. So someone says that. They lose 10 kilos. They're so excited, as they should be. And then because they haven't really set a clear next goal, they then head into maintenance. And I always think, how are we in maintenance? What just happened? Because I think what you're showing, and I want everyone to hear this, is that in order to travel a journey like Cheryl's traveling, like all the guys, these guests are traveling, there has to be this breakdown. And now what I love hearing is your understanding of the system, like your understanding of how you can, the Ionics is going to calm you, and how your understanding of the E-shot that's going to give you that focus, clarity to perform. So I wanted people to hear that. I'm going to, I want to ask Lorinda, because we're kind of talking about this idea of how other people just start noticing, clearly. People were noticing Cheryl. And Lorinda, when you, like, I want to first talk about the fact that it took you so long to say yes, because that's going to be the case with a lot of people. What do you now believe about people following up? You know, like, when someone in their life that they really want to help, what do you say to people when they say, well, I asked them once and they just turned me down? What would you say to them, Lorinda?
That people usually say no because they can't imagine themselves feeling better, or there's some other obstacle in the way and you just don't know what that is. Mm. If you give up on, I don't know where I'd be if Matt had given up on me. I look at it now, and my husband has done the journey with me and has lost over 40 kilos himself.
Wow.
And I really feel like both of us are on a path where, you know, and I can't say for sure, but there's definitely major health risks are in the way. Matt has totally changed our lives in not giving up on me. And he did it in a way that didn't make me feel guilty or didn't make me feel bad about me saying no. He did it in a caring way and was just consistent. Mm. And you have the ability to change somebody's life and their whole family's lives. I will be forever grateful to Matt and his wife. And it's such a gift that you're giving people by not giving up on them.
Awesome. Do you find yourself like being that for others now, Lorinda? Are you doing that? Do you find yourself really being a fan for people?
It definitely. There's so many people that I've talked to that have said no, and I don't take that as an insult. I just take it as a no, not yet. I'm not ready yet. And those people that I have followed up on, and I haven't done it in a way that I think, oh, I've got to get these people. I just have done it in a way that I just need to be their friend and I need to be there for them and be what they need me to be at the time. And they have since started on their own journeys and they're achieving such fantastic things. So I'm definitely, I never take no as a negative, ever.
Yeah, that's so cool. Thank you. That's so cool because it's really poignant. Your story is the proof. And I love when you just said that following someone up with care, you know, with care rather than guilt. Ooh, what a nice way of saying that. And just knowing that your husband losing over 40 kilos alongside you, this is a family affair. Everyone's talked about the kids. So hello. And then it's a community affair. So thank you for that. And Owie, when you were sharing about, you quickly just said, oh, I'm in an isobody challenge. So I'm curious, how has that focused 16 weeks, like this isobody challenge, how has that helped you on this current journey that you're on of weight loss?
Oh, the isobody challenges have helped me immensely. Like the last one, this is my fourth isobody since I started Isogenics. And the last one, I used to weigh in every couple of weeks and I just, if I didn't lose weight and wasn't moving, even though I knew my body was changing, I was a little bit disheartened and maybe a bad habit might slip in for a day or so. But this time, as I said before, I haven't weighed at all. I haven't had any weigh in. So I don't know what I've lost. I know I've lost, but I don't know what I've lost. So I haven't had any of those little self mind hurdles in the way. And I've really, which has really, really helped me achieve a greater level of training, you know, like I said, your sort of warm up now is what your whole workout used to be, you know, and it just keeps you honest and at the end of the 16 weeks it is what it is. I mean, I'm of the mindset now that the weight loss is just numbers. It's how my body's starting to look and how my body's starting to feel, and that is where I'm going now. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, yes, there's always going to be a number of how much weight I've lost since I started, but that's nothing on how I feel day in, day out, training hard and pushing myself, and absolutely love it. You know what I mean? Like, I missed a gym for 36 years in a row. Now I miss one day and I get sad, you know? Like, it's a big turnaround in my whole life.
That was clever. I like that. So anyone that's missed a gym for, 30, 40 years, just know that you too can change the habit. I'm curious because you said that you've always been bigger, that you were the overweight kid in school. So how does a person who's always seen themselves as big start to see themselves as different?
Get onto the isogenic system. It's really, that's how simple. I as Cheryl had said, I tried everything. You know what I mean? And the biggest thing to me is with the isogenic system is the nutritional value. Okay, now I'm not going into the nutritional value, but once you realise that this stuff's making you feel good, so you look into what's in it. It's not only a weight loss, it's a whole mind change system. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like it's a lifestyle change with personal development involved. You know what I mean? Like, as you go on, there's just so many cool people that don't let you you know, I mean, people have, you've got to watch people and help them, but, you know, sometimes people are beyond helping, but there's so many people that will just help you, and they just, they're not the reasons why you succeed, because they give you the tracks to run on, but you've got to run on them, and it's just, but there's so many people that'll just push you back on that track if you start to get off, and it's just phenomenal. Mm. Like, it really is. It's been, well, it saved my life, and it's changed my life, so, and it continually changes my life in different ways each month in, month out, so.
Wow. I've written notes about that, everything you got. I hope everyone is, because even you just said it's a mind change system. I was like, wow, how true is that? And what I really love about what each and every one of you have shared is that the moment that we want to really make an impact on world health, the moment that we really want to help someone change their life, the moment we want to change our own life, it's a journey. Like, I hope everyone has heard that this has been happening over time for all of these guys. So this is important, you know, like, not only the system, but the community of people, the support, the mindset, all of these different things, like the Isobody challenges that give the accountability and the measure, like even always saying that over the different challenges, he's realized, wow, that scale can send me in a tailspin emotionally. Okay, so I'm going to do it differently next time. It's like, this is self-growth, you know, and you mentioned personal development, Oe, so thank you for that. And look, I feel that we've just gotten started, and I'm okay with that. You know, I have this expression, somebody told me this once, it's so good, that, you know, when we go to the buffet, when I was a kid, me and my brother used to look so forward to the buffet that we would just stuff ourselves, silly, because we never knew when we were going to get back to the buffet. And someone told me that in Isogenics, when we're sharing with people, you don't want to stuff people. You just want to feel like, wow, I have this little bit of hunger. I've got this little hunger in my belly, just enough that I want more. So I hope people are feeling that, you know, that feeling of, wow, you know, we can really make an impact in people's lives. I can make an impact in my own life. Maybe you're sitting there in your quote-unquote maintenance, but really, you do not have a maintenance body. So maybe for you, it's like, wow, I need to take on what these three guests are saying. But I just want to shout out to all of you. For me, you are all true warriors. You know, whatever brought your life to a place of obesity, you had the courage to make a change. And you not only give hope, you know, that change is afoot, but you also give inspiration that we can all get out there and be a stand for people who don't yet know that their lives can be different. You know, Lorinda really spoke to that. And impacting world health is so worthwhile. Each of you personalize the mission. Like, that's what I really wanted today, was to personalize this mission so that we all might get out there and create change. So I really want to thank you for taking the time out of your lives on behalf of others. And we will hear the stories. You know, it always happens. Like, when I heard Oe say that, when I heard Lorinda say that, when Cheryl said that, that was the thing. So I look forward to bringing you those stories when I hear them. And I just want to thank you guys for coming on the line today. Very much appreciated.
No worries.
You're very, very welcome.
You're welcome. So what I'm going to do is, just to close out, I just want to make sure that anyone listening, if you never, ever want to miss another call, these Take Action calls, because they are really, really great, and that your team also doesn't miss a call, you can go to takeactionteam.com and grab the Podomatic link and register for the weekly newsletter. The weekly newsletters are great because they let you know what's coming up. And so, you know, we have different events approaching, and there's so many ways to invest in the community, but the biggest thing that I hope we all take away from today is not only to honor our own health, but how can we really make an impact in other people's lives. So again, thank you to you guys, our guests, and for all the listeners. Good night and goodbye, wherever you are listening.